The NBA draft is in the books, and the Knicks get their man. And if you don't know who New York Mets rookie first baseman Peter Alonso is, you better go and Google him, because this young man is raking, and I don't mean leaves. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants and Jets, Yankees and Mets, Knicks and Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
A-O-B. And please, part my fresh, as we bring you all new episode of Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, June 24th, 2019, and this show airs every Monday. Yes, every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. You can also catch previous airings of the show for you newcomers. Me and Mad Mike are also on social media. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter. LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. And if you got any questions that you'd like me and Mad Mike to answer on this show, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@partmyfresh.com. Or you can send them directly to this website. Another great show for you, listeners, as we're going to recap the NBA draft. We're going to go over the picks that the Knicks made, that the Nets made, and the winners and losers in the draft. We're going to talk some NHL hockey, which we never do or rarely do, as the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils all made their picks. And we're going to talk a little bit of baseball, as New York Mets rookie Peter Alonso is simply having a wonderful season, and the Yankees are playing some really good baseball. So as always, listen, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is, listeners, and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lloyd, I'm in New York, man. I attended Old Timers Day at the stadium yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to figure out my next move, bro. Even in New York frame of mind.
Listen, New York, Yankees are playing some great baseball. They took 3 out of 4 from Houston. We'll talk about that a little bit later, and they're starting to get back to somewhat full strength, Matt Mike. But let's talk about the NBA draft that took place last week. And the NBA draft, I thought it was an exciting night filled with some surprises after the first 3 picks. You know, they were no early. Intrigued with Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and R.J. Barrett going where they were expected to go. Everybody pretty much had them locked into 1, 2, and 3. And again, man, Mike, there's so many prospects and players who could make some impacts, from 23-year-old seniors to one and done. And those, you know, choose to skip college and just work out for a season, you know, that a draft is unpredictable. We all know it's unpredictable. And I'm pretty sure if we go over every pick that we made, a lot of them would be incorrect. But we all said it, you know, we both agreed that there was, or you said it, I'm sorry, that there was going to be a lot of trades and people weren't going to stand pat. And we also said that players could go anywhere from 10 to 20 and vice versa and all other kind of stuff. You know, but it's an opportunity for the teams such as the Knicks, the Suns, the Bulls. This is their only opportunity to shine, so to speak, Madam Mike. Because they're so bad during the season, and it's the opportunity to make decisions preparing for their future. So obviously, there's always winners and losers in the NBA draft. And listeners, me and Mad Mike are going to give you some of our winners and some of our losers in this NBA draft. Mad Mike, I want to start with my first winner, and I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me on this. It's New Orleans Pelicans, all right? And here's why. A few months ago, questions as to whether the NBA could survive in New Orleans persisted, all right? Anthony Davis wanted out. The Pelicans were also just ran with a disgruntled player, a disgruntled star, playing in an empty arena. And then the night of May 14th occurred, and the Pelicans won a draft lottery, which you implemented and which I kind of agree that this could have been fixed because of these reasons that I just mentioned, listeners. And they gained the right to draft Zion Williamson, all right? And listen, David Griffin, general manager David Griffin, he started making moves, including Dillon Davis to the Lakers. The result was nabbing Williamson, a franchise-changing player, so to speak, along with Texas freshman Jackson Hayes and talented Virginia Tech shooting guard Nickeil Alexander-Walker. The Pelicans got better and now can pursue a free agent to join Williamson and Jrue Holiday, and the goal is to reshape the roster, and I feel that that's exactly what David Griffin did, Mad Mike. So I'll let you, I don't know, I'll let you give your reasons if you feel they're a winner or if you feel that they're a loser.
Nah, I thought they were winners. I think when you consider what they got in the trade, in all the trades, when you figure the haul they got from the Lakers to begin with, when you figure, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, when you think of everything, then being able to trade out of the fourth where they weren't, and everybody knew they weren't in love. Everybody knew, hey, they're only getting the Lakers pick because they want to move that for additional picks. I thought at first I was like, man, this team is, kind of missed out not getting the 10th pick. How do you not get the 10th pick? But, they still ended up with Jackson Hayes and who's going to fit in perfectly with Zion Williamson, especially if you don't know what kind of defender Zion's going to be at the 4-5 spot in the bigs. You know that Jackson is at least going to be able to play defense. And to be able to get a future first-round pick and 17 and 35, which they use on solid players, I mean, I don't know if we've ever seen a haul like that. They ended up with four first-round players.
Ingram and Lonzo Ball, and I forgot the other man's name. Hunt?
Jared Hart?
No. Yes.
Josh Hart.
Right, Josh Hart.
And didn't they also get Solomon Thomas in this deal too?
Yeah.
Which will come off their books at the end of the year. I mean, listen, I've never, ever seen a team get this much for one player. And the reason I say you have to call it for one player, because everything wasn't made in a vacuum. It was all made with the start of that one trade with the intentions of making additional moves. They knew that they had targeted Atlanta to move back multiple picks, and it worked out. It worked to perfection. And Atlanta is another draft day winner for me, big-time draft day winner for me.
Yeah, I was going to say also Atlanta, that was going to be my next draft day winner. They decided to tear things up a few years ago, man, Mike, after failing to reach, the elite teams in the Eastern Conference. And so far, their rebuild couldn't be going any better, in my opinion. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Not only are the Hawks young and skilled with Trae Young and John Collins leading the way, they picked up three more prospects on draft night, Matt Mike, taking two-way ace DeAndre Hunter, who we both spoke highly of, former Duke standout Cam Reddish, and Maryland strongman Bruno Fernando. And like New Orleans, now comes the job for adding an established free agent to the equation, but the Hawks have ensured that they're one of the teams to watch during the next decade, man. Mike, great job for Atlanta Hawks. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you're a draft day winner. If you're able to move up to, if you're able to somehow negotiate or move up to four, draft DeAndre Hunter, and who we said, that probably the best two-way prospect since Kawhi Leonard, probably fits in perfectly in that Andre Iguodala role, being that Atlanta, the GM in Atlanta came from Golden State. That's exactly the whole idea of Trae Young being his Steph Curry, and he's constantly building. DeAndre, Hunter can be his Andre Iguodala, John Collins his Draymond Green, and you get the picture. The key for me and why I called them a winner is to be able to move up to four and still get the guy that everybody said you were going to take at eight, Cam Reddish. Get him at 10 is an absolute steal. And now if you can develop that shot, I mean, listen, Absolute winners.
All right, so now here's my next winner, Mad Mike. I don't know if you're necessarily going to agree with me on this. And, you know, I've heard mixed things about this. The Boston Celtics. All right, it was a tough week in Boston, and the Celtics needed to do something, in my opinion, to make themselves feel good. They had 3 first-round picks, and the Celtics were able to take 2 established college players, in my opinion, Mad Mike. Indiana's Romeo Langford and Tennessee's Grant Williams, and then spin that other first-round pick into a later first-round pick and a second rounder, and then they traded that pick, number 24, along with Aaron Baines, to Phoenix for a first-round pick next season. And what separates the Celtics draft from others is this second-round selection, in my opinion, Mad Mike. They nabbed Purdue's Carson Edwards, who I think is a prolific scorer, along with LSU guard Tremont Waters, you know, who was the first team All-SEC selection and a conference defensive player of the year, Mad Mike.
I consider them a winner simply because after their draft haul, they land Taco Fall, who everyone was, during the NCAA tournament, everyone was asking if Taco Fall was a first-round pick. And they signed him as an undrafted free agent. That's the kind of, you know, if we're going to celebrate the Knicks for these kind of moves, then these are the same kind of moves you got to celebrate other teams for. The fact that they could land Taco Fall as an undrafted, get Carson Edwards as a second-round pick, and then know enough that they didn't like their options at 24, that they were able to land a first-round pick in the following year. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous, man. They're not. I believe they get Memphis' pick next year, right? Isn't that how this works? Because Memphis was also protected. So it's crazy, man. The way Danny Ainge, it's been a tough week from a free agent standpoint. But who cares about free agents if he can keep loading up in the draft this way?
Right.
Eventually, someone's going to go there.
Yeah, and I also want to add in the Miami Heat. As the winner, Mad Mike. Look, this team is so far over the salary cap that they had to score big in the draft to improve, in my opinion. And they were able to get 2 key pieces in Kentucky guard Tyler Hero and Stanford swingman KZ Okpala. And Hero's a shooter, Mad Mike, who will add athleticism and toughness to this backcourt, while Okpala could develop into a star and perhaps would have been a lottery pick had he stayed in school for another year. Either way, the Heat were able to add 2 talented young players who will come cheap. And, you know, that was their biggest priority. So I add the Miami Heat as an also winner, man, Mike.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know. We got to wait and see on them. They have, you know, Tyler Hero has a chance to be a weapon in the NBA. But I mean, his shooting is still needs to be developed. And, you know, we talk about Ben Simmons, you know, that's what worries me that, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to knock him too much. But he's not a big guy by any stretch. He's 6'6", 192. And that, you know, undersized guys in the NBA lead to getting injured. So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to be totally down on him, but I think it was there's enough risk in that move that I don't know if I could peg him a winner.
Okay. So my next 3 and my final 3, in my opinion, are the Minnesota Timberwolves. I thought they traded up. You know, I'm sorry. They traded up to take, you know, to 6 to get Texas Tech swingman Jared Culver, and then they took Pac-12 Player of the Year Jalen Noel from Washington. You know, Culver could turn into a real star because of his ability to play defense, man. Mike, Minnesota would not have gotten him at 11, in my opinion, and it's original draft position, so it swapped picks with Phoenix, and the Timberwolves desperately need defenders and, you know, some fresh faces after a disappointing season. All right, I'm going to also throw the San Antonio Spurs in there, and they never going to conventional draft direction. Again, they took a Croatian power forward, Luka Simonic, the ability to be a stretch four under the tutelage of Greg Popovich, who's the best basketball coach, in my opinion, in the NBA. And San Antonio has a strong history, as we mentioned, of developing overseas players. And Simonic could turn into a rotation player. And then San Antonio, they went with 2 SEC players, Mad Mike, Keldon Johnson and Quindary Witherspoon, to add depth. And Witherspoon was a late bloomer who developed into dependable scorer in his senior season. He can make a roster as a second-round pick. And then our team, the third team, is the New York Knicks. All right? They failed in their quest to get Williamson when they lost out on the draft lottery and landed the third overall pick. But they used the pick wisely, in my opinion, on Barrett, who was the number one NBA prospect, as we said numerous times, entering last season as he entered Duke. And Barrett said he wanted to be a Knick. You know, which, listen, how many people say that? How many people say that? And he's another solid building block, along with last year's lottery pick, Kevin Knox. And then they drafted Michigan forward, Brazikas, who could become a fan favorite because of his three-point proudness and his confidence. And he was a Big Ten Freshman of the Year in his lone season at Ann Arbor, man, Mike. So those are my last three winners.
I won't disagree with any of those. I won't disagree with them. I'm big time on the Knicks draft. Really, really am big time on the Knicks draft. And here's a name that, and another reason I'm going to tell you I consider them a winner. I really like this kid, Amir Hinton, out of Shaw University, that they got as an undrafted free agent. He's going to take a couple years to develop in the G League, but player comp, and when I saw this, just absolutely blew my mind. You know, D2 Player of the Year, player comp, Dwayne Wade. How does a guy, player comp, Dwayne Wade, not get drafted? Because people are worried about the competition he played. Well, shouldn't we ignore these things now, man? Shouldn't we just say, hey, if the G League is being used like minor league baseball is to develop players, really being used that way, we shouldn't be scared to draft these kind of guys. And if your knock on him is, well, we don't know D2 competition, we don't know how he's gonna play against better teams. Well, you know, let's consider the number 2 overall pick in the draft this year didn't have any major scholarship offers. Not one major school checked him out in John Morant. And he became the number 2 overall pick. So I really like the Knicks draft.
All right. Is there any other winners you want to add in your opinion?
Off the top of my head, I think you touched on him. I was blown away. We can talk about the losers because they're sticking out in my head more. But I'll be honest, I was really blown away with the Pelicans. I was really blown away by the Atlanta Hawks. Those are my two like big time hands down winners in this year's draft.
All right,
and the Celtics.
Okay, so now the losers. My first loser, Mad Mike, is the Phoenix Suns. All right, they made the draft night trade with the Celtics season opportunity to take Virginia guard Ty Jerome, but they also took Cameron Johnson, who will be 23 when the season begins, 11th overall, after their pick swap with the Timberwolves. The Suns could have taken perhaps a more impactful player at 11, in my opinion, or if they had decided on Johnson, traded down further to grab North Carolina's forward in the 20s. And the Suns have a bunch of forwards and swingmen, so it's curious as to why they would pass on such a much-needed point guard and take Johnson so high. And Jerome could turn into a front-line point guard, but, you know, as a 27th pick, it could take a few years for that to happen, and the Suns needed to score big in this draft, and they just didn't, in my opinion, man, Mike. You know, my next team is the Orlando Magic, and the Magic had just one pick, and it selected all-ball scorer Chuma Okeke. He also missed most of the season with a torn ACL suffered in Auburn's run of the NCAA tournament. And Okeke could end up being a solid positional player, but he wasn't projected to go in the top 20. And the Magic took him 16 overall. It's not that he's projected to be a bust. Okeke will be a factor when he's healthy, but the Magic could have gotten so much more value at 16 considering it was their only pick. So my first two teams in the loser pool, Mad Mike, for the Suns and the Magic. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, how about you take this in for a second? Phoenix Suns swapped Jarrett Culver, TJ Warren, and the 32nd pick for Cam Johnson and Dario Saric. Should we even have a conversation anymore about being a potential winner or loser? Listen, Kobe White was there. Even if you didn't like Kobe White, the fact of the matter is he was the number two point guard on most draft boards. For him to fall to you, yeah, I know Garland went fifth, right ahead of you, and maybe you didn't love Kobe White, but you're not helping Devin Booker by constantly keeping the ball in his hands. Devin Booker is not a play. You know, I guess you could. Devin Booker's not a playmaker. He's a scorer. I don't think anybody can argue with me that he's not a playmaker. He's a scorer. He's not making his teams better. You know what I mean? That's just, I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. So, yeah, I think they're losers. I mean, the Orlando Magic have been, right? You mentioned the Magic.
Yeah, they had one draft pick, and they took it on to play with a torn ACL.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Magic have been, it's just seemed like they don't seem to have any, there's no rhythm to what they do. There's just, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about them, but they, like, I think we can say that they, we don't know. You, they're not in a position to be drafted and hoping that guys come back healthy.
All right, so my next two teams, man, Mike, are the L.A. Lakers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, the Lakers, they traded so much to the Pelicans for Davis, they needed to fill their roster with prospects who come cheap, all right? Instead, they took one player, Iowa State freshman, Talen Horton Tucker, all right, who could turn into a quality player, but one and done's taken in the second round are usually projected for the G League, Mad Mike. And what the Lakers needed were experienced college players, in my opinion, who could come in and contribute right away. Instead, they're pretty much relegated to using free agency to fill their roster spots with minimum salary players, and they need for Davis to defer $4 million in order to create another max contract spot. But even if they sign another max player, they still got to fill out the rest of their roster, all right? And now moving on to Cleveland, all right? They were able to maneuver three first-round picks and use them on two players who could play point guard to join the point guard they already took in a lottery last season. All right, Cleveland definitely picked up talent in this draft, but his backcourt could be mighty crowded is the reason why I'm saying this, man, Mike. And listeners, they have Colin Sexton and the draft picks Darius Garland and Kevin Porter Jr. All right, new coach John Bellin said he envisioned Sexton and Garland being a Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum type of backcourt. But what happens with Porter? All right, and don't give the Cavaliers, listen, don't give the Cavaliers over. They already have combo guard Jordan Clarkson. So there's definitely a log jam at that position for the new look Cavaliers. So those are my losers also.
I named the Cleveland Cavaliers a loser in my book as soon as they did not take a point guard in the first round? I believe, right? They took a point guard in the first round right after, you know, taking Sexton a year ago. It just didn't make any sense to me. And then the other thing I didn't like with them was you traded four second-round picks for a second-round pick this year. Even if you really, really liked, you know, who you land in the second round, there's no pick. Four second-rounders for one second-rounder, that's how bad teams stay back. You know, it just is. It's no question about it. As far as the Lakers go, I don't want to call them a loser. I do understand what you're saying. You got to find guys who are going to be contributors from day one, you know, seniors or whatever it is. But there's a reason they traded all those draft picks to get, you know, Anthony Davis. And there's a reason they traded Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. LeBron James has no use for rookies, year one and year two players. He has no interest in letting them develop. Their developmental stages cost him wins and cost him chances at you know, another ring. And I'm not going to fault them for that. You know, if that's the case, draft a guy who's going to sit in the G League for a couple years while these guys figure it out and then bring them in. It's just a matter of, yeah, you used to watch Kobe Bryant do it. There are certain guys that they'll let you know they have no use for you, and they'll just, the psyche of a young player is so fragile you can break a guy. Remember Kwame Brown? Michael Jordan broke Kwame Brown. First round, you know, number one overall pick. Michael Jordan broke him. And he just could never recover. He was just never really mentally strong enough for it. So I don't blame him for it. I don't. One team that I didn't really particularly care for their picks. I thought OKC could have done a little more to get you know, some impact players. Just me personally, you know, they're a cash strapped team themselves, and to get a guy who skipped a year of school, and is coming back now, you know, he's basically he's lost some developmental time, and do they with you know, especially with people already talking about Westbrook's knees and the injuries catching up to him, and you know, is he losing some of that explosion? You don't have time for developmental players. That's another team that I think needs to get guys in there that can come in and play right away.
Now, obviously, there are some more winners and some more losers, but these are me and Mad Mike's biggest winners and biggest losers, in our opinion. Okay? Now, let's move on to our teams, our New York teams, Mad Mike. And let's start off with the Brooklyn Nets before we talk about the New York Knicks. All right, and this draft for the Brooklyn Nets was further proof that the Nets are going for it all. As if we needed any more validation, Mad Mike, the Nets entered this NBA draft with a head full of steam. Kyrie Irving is considering them, and he's trying to bring Kevin Durant along with him. And they appear to be on Kawhi Leonard's short list. And the draft only bought what's been obvious into the national spotlight on the biggest platform in the NBA, one of the biggest platforms in the NBA. And it was their subtweet message to the NBA saying, "Can you hear us? This is what we're trying to do over in Brooklyn." And it might have been Zion's day. Apparently, he was walking around, and he was the king of Brooklyn for that night, waving at thousands of fans, trying to gain his attention. But it was the Nets who made the actual statement in their own arena, all right? And with the brigade sitting up in section B4, whatever section it is, in the Barclays Center, as they echo that chant that literally annoys the hell out of me when I go to Brooklyn games. Because half those people chanting Brooklyn ain't even from damn Brooklyn. Nothing overwhelming, but loud enough for you to hear from the rappers. Look, when the chant is done, all right, the Nets and their current strategy, confident, but show you, look, they become the team others didn't think they have to worry about come June. All right, when free agency period comes, and yet here we are talking about the Brooklyn Nets leaving draft night with an even larger value of their biggest asset, which is cap space, to complete their goal and sign two big names. And those two big names, as we're hearing quite a bit now after hearing all this talk about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant coming to the Knicks, it's a done deal. I'm hearing from people that they're definitely going to the Knicks. Now all of a sudden, they're definitely going to the Brooklyn Nets. And this just drives me nuts with social media and with sportscasters. But this is what they need to talk about to keep everything going. Obviously, they just can't say the Knicks. Because if they just say the Knicks, then there's nothing else to talk about, man, Mike. Now you're hearing Kyrie going to the Lakers. Kyrie's going to Brooklyn. Kevin Durant staying in Golden State. For weeks, they were saying, oh, it's a done deal. He's coming to New York. Stephen A. Smith and all these guys. Now all of a sudden, these guys are going to Brooklyn. Come on, man. Pipe down with that.
Nobody knows anything.
Listen, the Nets were the laughing stock of the NBA because they didn't have any picks. They traded them all away to the Boston Celtics. And that clogged payroll for years and no draft picks for years. And ironically, you know, this was the year they had not only their own, but Denver Nuggets pick. They had the Denver Nuggets pick as well. And within 2 weeks, both were gone. Both were gone. And essentially dealt for cap space. And priorities changed as flexibility is ruled for this team. And Thursday, draft night, they traded away a pick. They acquired from the Nuggets. They traded that pick to the Clippers, and then they received the Clippers' late second-round pick this year and Philly's first-round pick next year in return. They got cap space, and that 2020 pick compensates for one of the two picks they lost in the Allen Crabbe salary dump. And they put themselves in an even more competitive advantage. All right, they lost close to $2 million in cap space, and taking that pick would have denied them. All right, taking that first-round pick would have denied them. But this move has put them within reach of the max slots needed to sign both, quote-unquote, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And that means getting $70 million in cap space, Matt Mike. And as a first-round pick, that number 27 pick that we're talking about would have required the Nets to add 1.64 million cap space. And by the end of the night, assuming a number of other moves, Brooklyn could be looking at 68.67 million with only seven players on the contract. So they put themselves in a position, long story short, listeners, if you don't understand the breakdown that I'm doing, they put themselves in a position to add two max free agents. And I believe they declined the option on Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. That doesn't mean that they can't bring him back. And if anybody, look, at the end of the day, we all knew the Knicks would get him up high in the face. And I'm not, there's still a good chance that these two guys could end up in the Knicks. And then I'm hearing, Mad Mike, that the Nets just don't want Kyrie Irving if they can't get Kyrie and KD. And we're all talking about how social out of media said what they said about Kyrie Irving. Well, was it small for the Nets to say that?
Well, that's where the danger comes in, because you got to remember something. That was the same attitude that that was the same cavalier attitude the Knicks supposedly had, and their media and their fans had, that turned Kyrie off to the New York Knicks, supposedly. You know, remember that. People saying, oh, his father heard, they heard everything that was said, that why we don't want this guy. He's not going to lead our franchise if Kevin Durant's not coming here. Stay away, blah, blah, blah. And now for the Nets to say it, you're kind of like, wait a minute. Isn't that what turned the Knicks off? Why would you guys say it? But, you know, that should actually tell you more of what you need to know. From the Nets standpoint, I don't necessarily get that thought process. But I'll say this, from the Nets, it makes sense. Because the Nets are going to let 25-year-old D'Angelo Russell, who they developed over the last 2.5 years, walk to bring him in. Why would you let D'Angelo Russell walk if Kevin Durant is not following Kyrie through the door? If that's the case, why wouldn't you keep Russell and then kick the tires? If you kept Russell, you still have enough money for, let's say, two players of the Tobias Harris and Chris Middleton type contracts. Why wouldn't you even think to go that route? You know, if you ask me, if you can't get KD, I'd prefer to have D'Angelo Russell, Chris Middleton, and Tobias Harris added to my mix. That's just me.
And I understand. And you've seen the Nets are pretty much saying, well, you know what? Screw you. If we could get Kyrie and KD, you're out the door. But wait a minute. If we can only get Kyrie, we don't want Kyrie, and we'll take you back. And look.
The thing is, money talks. So hurt feelings, you could always massage hurt feelings with money. And D'Angelo Russell can get the most money from the Brooklyn Nets, so I get it.
Look, I mean, man, Mike, no disrespect towards Nicholas Claxton, who he doesn't sound like a bad prospect at 31.
Oh, he's yeah. Listen, that's Mitchell Robinson. I'm telling you right now, everyone told him, if you stay in school one more year, you're a top 15 pick. You're a lottery pick next year. And for some reason, he thought he had some promises that people weren't going to let him drop. He ended up dropping, but yeah, he's Mitchell Robinson.
And then they took Jalen Hands at 56. And I think both of them are going to end up spending time in the G League with the Long Island Nets. And they need to get stronger, and the Nets want to be patient with them. But on a larger scale, man, Mike, they're bit players. All right, and the Nets have become confident. You know, they're the team to beat this free agency. And it started with the vision for a young core, which is now a core with the playoffs under their system. All right, and there's summer competition competing for the worst record in the league. Look, they put themselves in a great position, man, Mike, at the end of the day. Whether or not the Nets will hit a home run, that remains to be seen. But they put themselves in a position so that they can hit a home run. So in that sense, I got to tip my cap to them for that. But I can also see in this blow up in their faces. I can see it happening. So we'll see. You got anything else to add to this before we take a break and come back and start talking about the Knicks picks?
No, I like I said, I really like Hans and Claxton. I think Claxton will spend 1 year developing, and he'll be instant results come 2021 season. And Jalen Hans, I think he needs a little more time, but I think they both have the tools. I think that this can actually turn into a pretty special draft class for them if they're willing to be patient. I do.
Right, so even without the first round pick. Going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the New York Knicks pick, we're going to talk a little hockey, and we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. The first half of the show, listeners, we went over our winners, our biggest winners, and our biggest losers in NBA draft, and we talk about the Brooklyn Nets draft picks and what they did to free up some cap space to be able to sign two max free agents to join that pool. Now let's move on to New York Knicks, Mad Mike. And I feel, all right, just my opinion, that the Knicks have a new rookie trio to add to their 2018-2019 version, all right? And if this threesome has as much promise, I think that the Knicks will be ecstatic, Mad Mike, on draft night. And into Friday morning, the Knicks added the leading scorers, okay, from three blue blood college programs, Mad Mike, Duke, Michigan, and UCLA. RJ Barrett, Ignas Brazakis, and Chris Wilkins meet Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, and Alonzo Trier.
And you forgot Amir Hinton.
Yes.
D2 Player of the Year.
Yes.
Averaging 29. And I believe 29, 4-4 for Shore University. I'm telling you.
And listen, we always, Matt, Mike, we have to give this regime, this front office regime, credit for really hitting home runs in the second rounds and signing undrafted college kids, kids coming out of college. We all got to say that they did a good job last year with Alonzo Trier and Mitchell Robinson, respectively. And now we feel that they did an excellent job this year's draft in the second round and signing undrafted kids coming out of college. And look, the Knicks have chances of making a big score in free agency. We've said this numerous times. And likely that could have dipped. All right? It could have dipped with Kevin Durant messing up his Achilles. And now there's talk of Kyrie Irving possibly going to Brooklyn and trying to get Kevin Durant to go to Brooklyn instead of going into the Knicks. This is what's going on right now. All right? But Steve Mills and Scott Perry, they're sticking to their promise of player development. And this new batch of young men coming in offers up a glimmer of hope, already joining the promising Robinson, Kevin Knox, and Alonzo Trier. And this is one of the reasons why, yes, me and Mad Mike would have loved to have Anthony Davis, but we also know you see what L.A. had to give up to get Anthony Davis. We would be talking this whole thing, this whole Carmelo Anthony scenario all over again if the Knicks would have got Anthony Davis.
Well, that's the thing, Lloyd. That's the thing, and that's what Knicks fans, you know, who they need to understand something. The game plan changed once Kevin Durant got hurt. You know, you can't overlook that. You can't gut your team after KD gets hurt because now you need everybody. If KD is going to miss a year, and you trade for Anthony Davis, and then you go and get, you know, a middle, you know, a few mid tier guys, you trade like the Lakers did, four or five guys, how are you going to replace them? I mean, KD is probably going to miss the whole year. It changed everything for them, absolutely everything. And I don't understand why, you know, fans were so angry. It's not like you can't go trade Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., RJ Barrett, and you know, two more draft picks. You just can't do it. And for what? For AD to come here and decide that he's not going to sign the extension? He wants to see what it looks like, and then you have nothing left in the cupboard. Like, if anything, I feel a hell of a lot better knowing that they learned from the Carmelo Anthony debacle.
Read. And that could have been smoke.
Think about this.
It could have been a smokescreen also, Mad Mike, because apparently he really wanted to go to L.A. And we all know what happened with Magic Johnson and tampering and all that other kind of stuff.
But you got to ask yourself, and I know we're supposed to be talking about the Knicks, but Anthony Davis is not going to have what's his future going to be there in 3 years when LeBron's done? They have no draft picks to help him. They're once again, they traded away all these guys. All their young guys are gone. D'Angelo Russell, gone. Lonzo Ball, gone. Brandon Ingram, gone. All they have left is Kyle Kuzma. So it's not like it's not OKC when it was Harden, Ibaka, Durant, Westbrook. It's not that, man. There's nothing left there. And like you said, it's going to be all middling, and the Knicks actually stayed away from that. They actually gave a promise of a brighter future to whatever free agent is considering here because they didn't make any crazy moves.
Not only that, man, Mike, let's throw this into the equation right now. A L.A. Lakers team with Anthony Davis and LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma might be good enough to make the playoffs, but definitely they're not good enough to win a championship. And then the Western Conference, listeners. Denver's better. Utah's going to be better. You still got Houston. You still got Golden State. You got Portland.
Getting healthy again.
You know, so listen. It's not a cakewalk. Everybody's 5-1 odds to win the championship. Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. If the Lakers win an NBA championship this year, all right, listeners, I'm going to have somebody hit me in the face with any type of pie. You guys can send in what types of pies you want me to get hit in the face with. But if the Lakers win an NBA championship, whatever pie you guys choose me to get hit in the face with, that's what I'm going to do. And yes, I'm damn salty. But I can be salty. I can be. But let's talk about RJ Barrett, man, Mike. All right? We all had him slotted to go to the Knicks. It's where he wanted to be. It's who the Knicks brass wanted. We was hoping that they wouldn't drop the ball with this, and they didn't drop the ball with this. All right? They didn't. We all know his versatility. He can dribble. He can create his own shot. He goes to the basket well. He finishes at the rim well. And he could play the two guard, and he could guard multiple positions, man, Mike. He's a different player than Kevin Knox was coming out of college. More polished than Kevin Knox was coming out of college.
Yeah, he might be more polished than Kevin Knox now.
Yeah. So the ceiling is high for this young man. Look, is he going to be a Hall of Fame player? Me and man, Mike, don't know. We don't know, but is it a good core of youth to have and to start with? And like Mad Mike pointed out, great point. All this promising talent that the Knicks have, that's more appealing to free agents. More appealing. And say what you want to about the Brooklyn Nets and them making the playoffs and the young talent that they have, but Mad Mike, the more exciting young talent is in Madison Square Garden, not at the Barclays Center. And I think a lot of Brooklyn's success, a lot of that has to do with D'Angelo Russell. And he may not even be there.
Well, here's the thing, though. And I think I said this before before the season started and about the Nets. I thought that the Nets the Nets shouldn't be comparing themselves to the Knicks. And I know this is hard to say, especially because our media, because they're both in New York, the media always comparing them, the fans always comparing them. Brooklyn is 2 years. Brooklyn is in going into year four. They're 3 years. They've already rebuilt for three seasons. The Knicks only, let's be honest, just because they suck, you know, the last, you know, these last few years, doesn't mean that they were in year two. They sucked 2 years ago under Hornacek. They weren't trying to suck. They didn't go to the rebuilding process until KP blew out his ACL. They weren't trying to rebuild. This is one of the reasons we killed KP. They weren't trying to suck on purpose. You got hurt. Remember when he got hurt, we were talking about this team was like 17 and 20 or something, and we were having dreams of an AC playoff run. There's a big difference, you know what I mean? And just for me personally, I'm looking at it now. You don't have to try to be them. What the New York Knicks have is a lot more. Their young talent is better at this point in the process than what the Nets' young talent was at that time. This year is going to be a lot different for the New York Knicks, we hope, as far as development goes. But I don't concern myself with that. Once again, this was year one. If KD signs and misses the entire year and nobody else comes here, that's fine. We're going to get another top five pick. And maybe even the number one pick this time around. You sign KD, and it's something that no one's talking about. You did make the right move. You got RJ Barrett. Everybody knows Zion wanted to come here. If Zion stays healthy, if he stays healthy, you don't think you have a shot at him? He's going to become a free agent as KD's money comes off the books. You're going to have your shot.
And the key is to RJ keep Barrett, and I'm sure at some point, they're probably already talking about wanting to play with each other at some point in their career, man, Mike.
That's my point. And so just keep staying the course. Keep building all that young talent. And another thing that goes overlooked, there's one position that me and you had both said, what do you think the Knicks need in the draft? If John Morant was a point guard, but hey, you still have Dennis Smith Jr. This guy's a power forward, but Zion's a power forward. But you still had Kevin Knox and you still had Mitchell Robinson. The one thing the Knicks didn't have was a real legit wing superstar with superstar potential. That's RJ Barrett. He's going to play shooting guard for the New York Knicks, and he fills a hole. Now, let's be honest. He's going to play that two-guard spot, and they can keep developing a point guard. They can keep developing a power forward and a small forward position. He doesn't prevent any of that. He doesn't slow any of that down. It's I don't see how anybody is anything less than happy with what they did. And like I said, like you said, they got legit blue chip prospects from blue chip schools, blue chip programs. Now they can take their time developing those guys, but there's talent there. There's real talent.
Now let's talk about Michigan's Brad Zekas, man, Mike. And he was added in the second round, but only after the Knicks pulled, off a draft night swap, all right? They traded up from 55 to 47 for cash considerations to land a Michigan Wolverine player, right? Blake Barrett, he's 6'7". He's a 6'7 lefty with Canadian and European ties, and he can shoot the three, all right? Some scouts are concerned about his defense, but he could become a lethal bench scorer, man, Mike, after leading Michigan as a freshman, almost averaging 15 points per game, all right? I think, and his stats proves that he shoots well from three-point range, almost 40%, and that's the Knicks' need, all right? And a dog offensive threat, all right? He became the first freshman to lead the Wolverines in scoring since former Knick Trey Burke did in 2011 and 2012. And then Friday morning, after Wilkes stunningly fell out of the draft, the Knicks scooped him up, offering him a two-way G League contract. And his situation may turn out similar to that of Trier, who went undrafted last season out of Arizona. And Trier can't believe the Knicks would have a two-way G League offer if he became an undrafted free agent. So it's kind of a surprise that Wilkes didn't get drafted. Listen, man, he can.
Yeah, how about this?
6'8"? highly rated player coming out of high school.
How about this? They thought, Lloyd, they thought Porzingis was going to be a first-round draft pick. Think about that for a second. And then to be able to land him in a swap of Kyle Guy, unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable. They got a guy that they thought was going in the first round. That's how high they have him rated, and they had him scouted. And then to get, you know, the Wilkes is who they were going to take in the second round. That's exactly who they were targeting. When they had the opportunity, obviously, to get Porzingis, who they thought was a first-round pick, they make the move to get him. But then, like you said, they're absolutely shocked that Wilkes drops out of the second round and becomes undrafted, and they snag him. Yo, it's unbelievable. And you got to think about it, right? Because the same thing happened last year. Remember last year, they were 100% sure that Mitchell Robinson was going to go in the first round. And they had made basically Trier had the promise that they were going to take him in the second round. Remember this. And then all of a sudden, Mitchell Robinson drops and they're like, wait, we got to get this guy. And then all of a sudden, Trier drops all the way out of the second round, ends up undrafted. And it's like, oh, man.
Look, he's 20 years old. He averaged 17.4 points at UCLA, grabbed 4.8 rebounds. He shot 43.3% from the field last season. He tested the draft waters in the spring of 2018, and he met with the Knicks, man, Mike. And the Knicks thought he could be a first-rounder, just like you mentioned, in the draft. But then he returned to UCLA last year, and look who they got this year.
Yeah, no, they're on it. They're on it. They know what they're doing. They're paying attention.
And listen, the three rookies from last season and the rookies from this year's draft, all right, supposedly they're all going to be in the Las Vegas League on July 2nd for the first summer league practice. And how excited are you? How excited am I? How excited should all Knicks fans be to see this? Might I add, the first game that they have to play in summer league against the New Orleans Pelicans, Matt Mike, and Zion Williamson. You can't make this. I was about to curse. You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't.
You can't make it up. But me and Matt Mike are happy with the draft that the Knicks had. We're happy with the direction that this team is going in. And like Steve Mills said, continue to have patience. All right? Don't let our, trying to think of a word, anxiety or, you know, let's not get too ahead of ourselves, listeners. Because every time we've done that as Knicks fans, guess what's happened? Nothing's good come of it. So now this regime is doing things the right way. And even if we don't get Kevin Durant, even if we don't get Kyrie Irving, even if we don't get Kawhi Leonard, at least we can look and say we have a good youthful core to start something with.
When was the last time the New York Knicks had 5 lottery picks on their roster at the same time within a 3-year span?
It hasn't happened. Maybe not in our lifetime anyway.
And I'm talking about Frank. I'm talking about Dennis Smith Jr. I'm talking about Kevin Knox. We can say whatever we want, but if Mitchell Robinson was if they were forced to do a redraft, Mitchell Robinson would be a top 10 pick. Let's be honest about that. We got RJ Barrett. You know, that's what I'm telling you. When was the last time the Knicks had 5 legit lottery type talents on their roster within a 3-year span? It's never happened. It's never happened. Not in my lifetime, not in your lifetime. Listen, there's even if they don't get what they're supposed to get in free agency, it's not a lost cause. You know, for all the people that are like, well, you have to get somebody because you traded KP. KP didn't want to be here. KP was a malcontent. He was challenging the coach. He had to go regardless. So I don't want to hear anything about it. The fact that you were able to trade KP and get future draft picks, and not just the future draft picks, and get a lottery pick that most New York fans wish they had in Dennis Smith Jr. the year before. You know, I don't want to hear any all this bull, you know, I almost cursed myself. I don't want to hear any of this bogus nonsense about Donovan Mitchell. No. All Knicks fans were told Dennis Smith Jr., who went 9, was the guy they could have had. He was the guy they could have had. Well, now they have him. So shut your mouth about not wanting him. Watch him develop. And we move on, yo. And that's all there is to it. And you want to know what? Out of all the names I said, there's still hope for Frank Ntilikina. You got to think about something. And I know I'm California dreaming with this one. But if you get Kawhi Leonard, and he's teaching, he's teaching Ntilikina on not just how to you know refine his offensive game to hopefully help him reach that. We're talking about one of the best defenders in the league helping one of the best on ball young defenders in the league. That's one thing that no one talks about when they talk about Frank. Frank is already rated up there as one of the best on ball defenders and one of the best pick and roll defenders in all of basketball, and that all of basketball, that's taking everybody into account. So, you know, for me personally, I'm saying I'm not giving up on him just yet. They might have. They were taking offers, but at the same time, what does it tell you that they didn't like any of the offers they received for Frank Ntilikina? And I heard that Boston, with the 24th pick, was actually on the table for Frank Ntilikina. And they turn, you know, so think about, yeah, everyone wants you to be down on him, but how high are they still on him that they weren't willing to do a late first-round pick for him?
No, you're absolutely right. So kudos to the Knicks for having a great draft, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that they'll hit a home run in free agency. And look, listeners, you know, summer league for the NBA is right around the corner. So, you know, you may get a break from basketball maybe in the next show, but at some point, we're going to talk summer league. We're closing in on our 100th show. So, you know, we got a couple of special guests coming on that episode. So, you know, we got a lot to look forward to. But let's talk a little baseball, man, Mike. And we're both not Mets fans, but I got to give props to Mr. Pete Alonso. All right? He just keeps on hitting home runs, and records keep falling. As he hit a couple more home runs in a series against Chicago.
You know what, man? Before you finish that thought, I'm just, you're saying it, and I'm just thinking to Manfred already admitting that they messed with the balls this year. I'm thinking of the fact that I watched Todd Frazier hit a home run on Saturday, and he hit the ball. He missed it. He definitely didn't get all of it. You could see he didn't get all of it. He put his head down, shook it in disgust, threw his bat, and the ball went out of the park, Lloyd. So while we're giving him all the credit, you know, Pete Alonso all the credit, baseball has to get this. I think the NL has 11 players with 20 home runs before July 1st. 11. And I think the American League had 7 or 8. I think it was 7 at the start of the weekend. I mean, we're talking about almost 20 players with 20 home runs. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he hit number 26 and number 27 in the Chicago. He hit number 27 yesterday, man, Mike.
Yeah. It's disgusting, bro. It's disgusting.
Listen, he's a home run away, all right, one home run shy of Mark McGwire's all-time record for the most home runs by a rookie, which is 28 in 1987.
In the first half, because Aaron Judge set the rookie.
Dude is on he's on pace to what? If he hits 30 in the first half, to hit 60-plus home runs this year?
He's on pace to break Aaron Judge's 52 home runs by a rookie record. I mean, come on, man. And that's why I'm complaining. I'm not complaining about Pete Alonso. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I'm complaining about the Major League Baseball. Like, why are home run records falling at unbelievable paces if the game is clean? I know they juice the balls in the home run derby, but if we're playing with home run derby balls in a regular season, we got real problems, man. We got real problems.
I'm curious, but man. Have you spoken to our good friend Joe Rivera about this? Like, what's his thoughts? Have you talked to him about it? And what's his thoughts on this whole juice ball thing? Is he a fan of it? Is he like, this is ridiculous? I'm just curious.
Nah, he's not. He's not a fan of it. He's definitely not a fan of it. And as a matter of fact, I spoke to him this weekend, and the one thing he said to me was, too much of a good thing is a bad thing. And we know that home runs are what bring fans to the park. And what you're trying to reach as a casual fan, but it's too out there. So that was his take. His take was just, too much of a good thing is a bad thing. And that's where we're at now. We're to a point where, you know, you don't want the dead ball error, but you don't want this live ball error either. You have to be able to find something in the middle. Have to.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. There are a lot of home runs being hit. I think in one day there was like an MLB record for home runs hit in one day.
Yeah, no, dude, it's we're reaching astronomical levels. We're reaching levels never before seen, and it's a problem, man. It really is. We could have the conversation, because the conversation is that, you know, that home run conversation could lead us to the Yankees. It could, because, you know, they're hitting home runs at unbelievable pace again too. Guys that shouldn't be hitting home runs.
Consecutive home runs. What was it, 25 Sunday?
26 games. 26 games.
26 straight games of the home run, listeners.
One game away from tying the all time record, and two games away from setting it. And if you watch the way they've been hitting the ball, I don't think there's any question that it's going to happen. They're going to do it. I mean, if you were able to extend your streak yesterday against Justin Verlander, what's to stop you from keeping it going? I mean, how many more home run records have to fall? How many more home run records got to get tied or broken before we say enough is enough?
And speaking of the Yankees are 40-28. And they won their season high 8th straight. You know, they won 8 straight before losing on Sunday, man, Mike. All right?
They have.
Yeah, I know. You know, it gave them a 5.5. Did Tampa win yesterday?
Yes, 8-2 they beat.
All right, so they have a 4.5 game lead on the Tampa Bay Rays. And did Boston win yesterday?
Boston lost. All right, still 8 games.
They got 8 games over Boston.
Yep.
All right, that's their largest division lead since August 4th of 2015, man, Mike. And they clinched they clinched the series against the Houston Astros. They took 3 out of 4 from a very good baseball team. And Giancarlo Stanton, who missed 61 games with a litany of injuries affecting his left bicep, his shoulder, his calf. He was playing in his just fourth game. He was playing in his fourth game back, and Saturday he went 2-for-4. You know, I mean, he went 2-for-3. I'm sorry, was it 2-for-3 or 2-for-4, man, Mike? Yeah, I know you had
four RBIs. Stanton?
Yeah.
He was 2-for-4. Yes, with 2.
2-for-4 with 4 RBIs. He sat out in yesterday's game. And look, I know Aaron Judge is struggling, but Aaron Judge is going to get his act together. No need to panic, listeners. I'm not a fan of him hitting leadoff, though, man, Mike. Not a fan of him hitting leadoff. But it's tough to, you know, listen, minor league pitching and major league pitching is two different things. Like, you know, John, they interviewed Giancarlo Stanton before Saturday's game, and he said, there's no cap at the major league level.
No, the Yankees, I've had this argument on this show numerous times with you. They've done it, and it's something that for some reason they believe in. Their analytics team does not think that because of the big difference in exactly what Stan said, there's a big difference between minor league pitching and major league pitching, right? They don't believe for one second that a guy can sit in the minors for 2 weeks and that's going to solve all his problems because they feel that the pitching is so much better. And their analytics tell them that a guy coming off the DL is going to struggle regardless of how long he's in the major, you know, in the minor leagues. If you ever watch the Yankees, they normally only give their guys one series. You know, Judge, for some reason, ended up getting two series in the minors. But you got to think about it. Him, Stanton started his minor league rehab on that Friday, and he was already in New York playing in games on Tuesday. Judge started his on that Saturday, and he was playing ball on Friday. So that's pretty much a longer period of time for them. I think we saw that Didi, what did Didi spend? Coming off Tommy John surgery, I think he only spent 10 days in the minor leagues. And he was up. So, yeah, their analytics team doesn't believe that you know, you're going to come back and be sharp from day one anyway. So they just bring, I mean, Aaron Hicks only played three games in the minor leagues before being called up. And you see how bad he's hitting. He's hitting under 200. And that's why I was, you know, blown away by fans booing Stanton, because I'm like, you got this center fielder who's just absolutely, you know what I mean? Like, just
he's not doing
anything.
He's not worth $10 million he's getting, I'll tell you that much. At now he's not, at this particular moment.
Yeah, and now he's got a little shoulder thing going on to go with a back thing. And if you're the Yankees, what have you not been paying attention to? This guy's got core muscle injury after core muscle injury after this, after that. You know, just in my opinion, it's like, come on, dude. Enough. But you know, we're not going to see Clint Frazier. You know, Clint Frazier. You know, kind of. I guess they think he has some growing up to do. Kind of overreacted to being sent down. Clint, I 110% support you. I didn't think you should have been sent down over some other guys, but you know, we'll see, Lord. I don't know what's going on there, but.
Well, you know, the All-Star break is coming up, and hopefully we can get Joe on the show to talk about the first half of the baseball season. Well, let's talk a little bit of hockey before we go into your rant, man, Mike. And I just want to give kudos to the New Jersey Devils, all right? The 2019 NHL draft is in the books. And listeners, I know we don't talk much hockey, but we do talk hockey, and I think this is the time that we could talk a little bit of hockey before we close the show out. And I got to give the New Jersey Devils props, man, Mike. All right, the New Jersey Devils, they got their number one pick in Hughes, and then they turned around and traded for defenseman P.K. Subban. To me, that's great. In less than 24 hours, man, Mike, they added Jack Hughes and Subban. And everyone knew Hughes was coming. He was going to be the top pick in the draft. But landing P.K. Subban in a trade with the Predators on Saturday, that gave them, in my opinion, the number one defenseman in the league. And on top of drafting Hughes and a Subban trade, the Devils still made 10 more picks on Saturday, giving them 11 total for the draft. And they managed to stockpile even more prospects, you know, into the pipeline, while also making a dramatic short-term improvement to the current NHL roster. And I think it's tough to have a better draft weekend than what the Devils pulled off. And then I want to get your opinion, not only on that, but on a draft that the New York Rangers made. What's the young man's name? Capo Caco. Yeah. Everybody's ecstatic. People at Madison Square Garden on draft night. And you'd have thought that, you know, the Rangers drafted Zion Williamson.
I mean, let me tell you something. This wasn't a draft where it was a 1-2. This was a draft where it was 1A, 1B. You know,
right. I'm hearing a lot of great things about him. And everybody kind of said that, you know, nobody knew if the Devils was going to take him over Hughes. But you know, I guess Hughes, you know, was projected to go one, so things panned out, and you guys got your man.
Well, like I told you before, when they first won, I said there was no bigger winner. I know that the Devils won the lottery, but there was no bigger winner than the New York Rangers, because you don't want to be, if Capo turns out to be better than Hughes, That's going to be, you know, pie in the face on the Devils. And the fact that they're going to be in the same area playing, that's even more pressure. So to me, I was like, you're in the driver's seat. But let me tell you something. We're not talking about Sidney Crosby. We're not talking about Evgeny, you know, Malkin type. His Capo Caco, his player comparison is Jaromír Jágr. I mean, so you're talking about like, wow, got Jaromír Jágr type, and then you went and got two what can be elite level rotational defensemen, with your next two picks. That, listen, this draft class was easily an A, It's and then they're still in big in free agency, and we'll see what happens, if they're able to trade Chris Kreider. They're in the driver's seat right now. I know that they're still rebuilding, but like the Knicks, I don't know. I don't think that this rebuild is going to take as long as we thought. I really don't.
Listen, Keiko's been one of the most impressive teenagers, you know, to ever play in the Liga. And that's one of the top Finnish professional leagues. He had 18 points. He had 38 points. 22 goals to go along with 16 assists. And he's expected to step into the Rangers lineup immediately. And this is what the New York Rangers need. And then they drafted Matthew Roberts, like you were saying, number 49, a defenseman. And then they drafted Carl Henriksson, number 58 from Sweden. All right, and what Matthew Robertson, after acquiring a goal scoring forward, like you said, you know, the Rangers predictably went defense with their second pick. And he ranked 26th best in North American, you know, as a North American skater in the draft by NHL.com. And then you want to talk about Carl Henriksson. He's an 18-year-old center. You know, he's been very productive while playing in a junior club in Sweden. He compiled 49 points, 13 goals and 36 assists in 45 games last year. So solid draft by the New York Rangers. I'm sure you would agree with that, right, man, Mike?
No, I gave them an A. I think that they're going to easily come out with at least three big league players in this draft out of the seven picks. That's my personal opinion of it. And if Capo's a star, if he's a star, and these guys become solid rotational players, kind of like they just had in this last, you know, 10-year run, they'll be all right, man. And they got, like I said, they got some goaltenders coming on up. I don't think Hank is gonna agree to leave. I think he wants to finish all here, but you know, if this team, the future's already bright.
And I mean, kind of falling under the radars of New York Islanders. And Islanders team president Lou Lamoriello continued to work his, you know, Saturday at the NHL draft. He picked up two much needed centers for the team's prospect pool in addition to a defenseman and another right winger. And those four picks concluded the draft for the Islanders, who selected Swedish wingman Simon Holmström in first round. Not nobody that's supposed to be that impactful. They re-signed Emberly. They re-signed Nelson. So they kept some of the guys at pretty decent contracts, you know, salary contracts. I didn't even expect the Islanders to go as far as they did last year, man, Mike.
Nope.
I kind of figured this team would might teeter upon maybe sneaking into the playoffs, but more so missing the playoffs. And I really can't predict what next year is going to be like for this team. I can easily see them not making the playoffs next year. I still think, like we said before, they need a star. They need a stud. They need a goal scorer. And it doesn't seem like they're even moving towards doing that right now. But we'll see what happens. So now let's move on to the part of the show that we all love, listeners. And that's Mad Mike's Rant of the Week, where he gives us his distasteful opinion on something that's going on in the sports world. So what you got for the listeners and myself this week, Mad Mike?
Well, Lloyd, I don't know if you heard about how this, you know, Manny Machado had this blow up with Bill Welke, and you know, Bill Welke tossed him. It was over, questionable strike three call. I think we can all agree that these umpires have been pretty awful, and it's been getting worse and worse and worse over the years. And for some reason, they thought that it would be a bright idea to liken Manny Machado's actions to violence in the workplace. I understand. I mean, you're talking about umpires that go out there, Angel Hernandez in grandstand, C.B. Buckner, who yells as loud, you know, so people in the 400 seats can hear him punching somebody out. And we can say that these guys have been getting numerous calls. The increased rate of wrong calls in a game has been scary. And to me, I just don't understand what they were doing. If it wasn't Manny Machado, would they have done it? Would they have sent out a tweet liking, you know, they basically blasted MLB and the player, they blasted the players union for allowing him or advising him to appeal his suspension. They basically, which didn't make sense to me, but baseball is arbitrarily negotiated. It's collectively bargained. You understand? So if he appeals it, why are you going after MLB? I mean, they actually forced MLB and a players union to agree and come out both in unison against them. What are you thinking? And then you have not only that, but now when you turn on ESPN, you have all these highlights of all the blown calls umpires have made over the season already. Like, why do you want that kind of negative publicity? Just keep your mouth shut. If the MLB feels he did something wrong, one, you blast MLB for the one-game suspension, the demanding he gets more than one game, and then you're blasting the players union for appealing what you already feel is a light sentence. But now you have ESPN is playing 35 blown calls by umpires this year. Who came out a winner for baseball? Baseball was a huge loser this week specifically because the umpires wanted to grandstand. I don't understand what's going on.
All right, there you have it, listeners. And I saw something on HBO, man, Mike, where I don't know if you saw Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. We actually have a device that they would put into the umpire's ear that would track balls and strikes. And you won't get a delay as the umpire calling a strike. It'll be as if he's calling a strike in real time. But baseball, Major League Baseball, they don't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah, but you want to know what? This is my point. How can you go after the guys that have been protecting you, that are saying, hey, man, one, here's another thing, Lloyd. Umpires are old men. The majority of umpires are not young men. If the game is about getting bigger, faster, stronger in every sport, shouldn't we say the same thing about our umpires and our referees? I mean, does your eyesight improve with age or does it get it worse?
Remember, every umpire that's in the umpire crew, depending on how many games in a series, they rotate.
Correct. I don't know, man.
It's going to be behind the plate. They don't say, oh, no, you can't do home plate because you can't see that well. And I don't know what they have in place to test these guys as far as that goes, if they even have anything in place.
I don't know. I mean, and I don't want to make it seem like calling a strike on a 100-mile-per-hour pitch is easy, but come on, man. Come on. It's you're telling me 65-year-old men are seeing the same things that 35-year-old men are seeing? All I'm saying is if you want to get upset and throw a guy out of a game and then do all this, make sure you got the call right. It's not like he wasn't arguing for no reason. You got the call wrong, and it wasn't the first strike call. And now Manny Machado's got to be worried, right, because now he's got a fear for retaliation in the workplace. You're complaining about violence in the workplace. Now he got a right to complain about retaliation in the workplace.
Right. That's a great point. Great point. There you have it, listeners. Mad Mike Rant of the Week. First, I want to congratulate our producer, A.O. Omar Baker, Mad Mike, as he's he just got engaged to his girlfriend. So now she's his fiance. So I want to pass along our congratulations to him. Happy for you. Love you, brother. You know what I'm saying? To see you grow up from a young man to, you know, a young adult. You know, it's been a blessing, man. So congratulations from the both of us to you guys. We also want to thank our listeners for continuing to stick with us and continue to rock out and be there week in and week out. And, you know, me and Matt Mike continue to get better and continue to give you guys what you want to hear. All right. So listeners, please have a safe and blessed week. And me and Matt Mike, I'll see you in 7 days. So, hey, yo, congratulations, baby.
Appreciate you, big bro. It was an amazing weekend. The champagne flowed. Surrounded by good people, lots of love. I got a fiance, that's kind of fire. Alright, check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you listening to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show. As you already know, brand new episodes drop every Monday, so I suggest you subscribe if you haven't done so already to make sure you don't miss the next show and the show after that. Make sure you follow on Instagram and on Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson. Make sure there's two L's in that name. And hit LloydAThompson.com in case you have any questions that you want answered on a future episode of this show. Once again, brand new episodes every Monday. LloydAThompson.com. We're available everywhere. Apple Podcasts and Spotify included. Catch y'all in 7 days. Let's get back to the party. Peace.